Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
Today, I want to wrap up a series that I've been in called Cowboy Trappings. Cowboy Trappings. And here's the subtitle: How to Enjoy the Things of This World Without Being Trapped by Them. How many of you guys have ever been trapped by materialism or ever put more faith in material things than you did in God? Anybody? Four of you. Great. I mean, seriously, I'm glad I'm preaching today. Well, I will say, you know, from personal experience, I believe that if we're not careful, we can get our eyes more focused on the things of this world and less on God, right? And here's the thing. For the cowboy, here's what that looks like. I mean, a cowboy, obviously his trappings are the things that he uses every day, right? I mean, you got the saddles, you got the gear, you got all this stuff that a cowboy uses, and they're, I mean, his treasures, right? I mean, that's what he loves, that's what they spend a lot of money on. Can I get an amen from the ladies? Yeah. And again, I've saved up all my money for this next week, and I'm going to spend it all. Next week, we are headed to the WRCA finals. They got a trade and trapping show there, and I'm going to spend every dime I've got. Get my wife out of my way. But here's the thing. I love going and I love, you know, again, buying some treasures that I think I ought to have, right? But here's the thing. I believe we can get caught up in some of that. I believe that we can get caught up into this material world. And so again, how do we enjoy the material things that God has blessed us with, right? But keep them in their place and not set our hearts more on the things of this world. Well, our key scripture, if you'll look on the screen, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 and 33. Can I just let you guys in on a little secret? You don't know this. I feel like a dog every week because one of my friends who, I don't know where he's at, but he brings me a treat every time before I preach. Where are you at? Kevin? Is Kevin here? Where? Yeah. He had to go take care of something. So, the hospital. So, anyways, my buddy Kevin Evans brings me a treat every Sunday morning. So, let's give it up for Kevin. Yeah. Doggy treats is what they are. Actually, he brings me a treat, and then if I eat it, I preach longer. Because I'm not as hungry. So, I don't eat those so that we keep it short, right? Can I get an amen? Yeah. That, and if I always have to pee before I get up and preach, and that makes me preach quicker. Was that too much information? Well, you're learning the tricks of the trade, baby. I'm letting you in on these preacher tricks. But okay, let's focus back. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 6. It says this: Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, or where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in what? In heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your what? Treasure is, there your heart will be also. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Again, these have been our key scriptures on this whole series. And we've answered five questions on how to keep the things of this world in their right place. Number one was this: Are the trappings or the treasures of this world sinful? Remember this? Are the trappings or the treasures of this world sinful? Well, the answer is no, right? I mean, again, God has given us all these things for our enjoyment. If you, and again, I threw this out, I don't know if it's true. It probably is true. But if you don't enjoy the things that God has given you, you're probably sinning as well. Does that make sense? I mean, again, God blesses us with things, and if we're such a prude and we don't want to have fun, we don't want to enjoy the things that God's given us, then again, we may be sinning as well. Can I get an amen on that? I like that. That helps me buy more stuff. No, I'm just kidding. Was my motive wrong in that? Was my motive wrong? I'm just kidding. Number two is this: If the things of this world are not sinful in and of themselves, then what makes them sinful? Remember? I mean, again, if they're not, you know, sinful in and of themselves, then what makes them sinful? Well, here's the truth. The truth is, when our heart is set more on the things of this world than on the things of God. Anybody with me? Again, if I put my heart on all this stuff and I go, this stuff's going to satisfy me. This stuff's going to really, you know, make a difference in eternity. This stuff's going to, you know, bring me happiness. And then all that stuff burns up in a house fire. Then what? Right? My heart was set more on those things than of God. Now, number three was this. How do I know where my treasure is? Here's the answer. You follow your heart. You follow your heart, and then you will see, listen, your heart will lead you to what you spend most of your time on, what you spend most of your energy on, what you spend most of your mental mind on, what you think about most, and what you spend your money on. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, again, that's how you know where your treasure is. Number five is this. How do we know, or how do we store up treasures in heaven? Again, if we're not supposed to store up treasures on earth, how do we store up treasures in heaven? Here's how you do that. If you do things within God's will, everything that you do within His will is a treasure in heaven. I mean, you say, Bo, how do I not store up so many treasures on earth, again, for myself, and how do I store up treasures in heaven? Listen, you do the will of God. You obey the word of God. And every time you do that, you are storing up treasures in heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to have a lot of treasures in heaven as well. And so, again, that's where we've been so far. Well, today, here's the deal. I need you to be excited today. Anybody smile? Everybody just smile at me. Just, I want to see some teeth. Teeth, please. All right. Here's the thing. I'm feeling pretty good today because I didn't have to do squat before I preached. Did you notice that? I mean, the band took over. They did an awesome job. Yeah, I didn't have to do the announcements. Casey showed up on time. I mean, good job, Casey. I mean, seriously, I am learning to give up things so that I can enjoy and give you all I've got when I'm preaching, especially when we start two services. So I'm trying to let go. I'm trying to let go. But here's the thing. I need you to be excited today. You know why? Because people are in our church today that have never been in a church that was excited about Jesus. And so, listen, if we sit here and we're like, they're going to go, crap, man, I really love Jesus. I want to know him because I see it on your face. You see what I'm saying? And so listen, today we're gonna learn a few things, and I want to turn the table. Today, I want us to look at another treasure that we are called to enjoy, but we can also become trapped by it. Okay? You ready for this? Again, some of you are in a dating relationship or a marriage that you're gonna be set free today from the trap that you're in. And I'm just gonna tell you, I have experienced what I'm teaching today. Okay? Again, I've learned some things through what I'm going to talk about, and I have learned some things, and my marriage is better than it's ever been. And so here's the truth. Here's the thing that I want to focus in on, and I've already given it away. The treasure or the trappings of relationships. All right? The treasures or the trappings of relationships. Now, here's the thing. I believe with all my heart, second to our relationship with Christ, human relationships are the greatest treasure that God has given us. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, seriously, I believe that. Other than my relationship with Christ, the human relationships that I have are the greatest treasure that God has given me. But here's the thing. I had a conversation with an individual this week, and this individual shared with me. He said, you know what, Bo? If I would give up everything that I have. He says, I got a nice truck. I got nice horses. I got a nice house. I got all this nice stuff, and I would give it all up just to be with somebody. Just to be with somebody. Just to hear, like Don Williams said, the heartbeat in the darkness. Again, just to be with somebody. I would give all this stuff up. And Don Williams sang it right, and so did Cody just a second ago. When he said, a big estate with a wrought iron gate, a mansion on a hill ain't where I want to be. You know, you see, without love, a house ain't a home. A diamond ain't more than a stone in the ground. I'd give everything I own in my life if I could just hear the sound of a heartbeat in the darkness. Now, here's the truth. Yeah. Here's the cool thing. Some of you guys have experienced the heartbeat in the darkness. Some of you guys have a relationship with an individual on this earth, and it is a treasure for you. Some of you guys have that in maybe a dating relationship. Again, a friendship. Maybe you have great parents that have shown you, you know, the love of Jesus, and you are just totally, you know, again, you have a great relationship with your parents. Again, maybe it's a marriage, and you have this heartbeat that you can count on, and you've experienced that. Here's the truth. Relationships drive our lives. They do. I mean, again, whether I have a relationship, like I said, with my parents or my wife or my kids, relationships drive our lives. So here's the question. How do I enjoy the treasures of relationships without being trapped by them? Okay? That's the question. How do I enjoy the treasures of relationships without being trapped by them? Here's number one. You ready? If you're taking notes, you know that little card that you have in your chair? You can tear it off. You can take notes. You can write this stuff down. Again, it's good stuff. And not because I'm giving it to you, but because God's giving it to you, right? And so again, everybody, you deal with relationships every day. If you want to know some key ways to make those relationships a treasure and not a trap, write these things down. God will use them later on this week. Maybe somebody will come to you and say, hey, how's your relationship so good with your spouse? You can say, let me pull out my little notes here, and I'll just hand these to you. Does that make sense? I mean, here's the truth. When you're prepared, God will use you. When you're unprepared, God tends not to use you. Does that make sense? And so you got to do your own due diligence. Number one is this. How do we enjoy the treasures of relationships without being trapped by them? Number one is this. Our relationships must honor God. I want you to hear this. Our relationships must honor God. Anybody ever been in a relationship that didn't honor God? I mean, be honest. Come on now. We all dated maybe somebody that we shouldn't have dated, right? I mean, never mind. There was a girl one time. Can I tell this story, Heather? Is it okay? There was a girl one time, again, her name was Stephanie Buckman. Stephanie Buckman was well endowed. I'll just say it that way. And anyways, I worked at a gun store, and the Stephanie Buckman, I had a bunch of guys working with me. I worked at a gun store. The Stephanie Buckman walked in the door, and all the other guys were walking toward her going, can I help you? Can I help you? Can I help you? And they were all trying to, and then she walks in and gives me the biggest hug, and I was like, you're dang right. Come on, baby. And I hugged her, and she goes, so how you been? And I go, not much. Because I was so dumbfounded by her. And everybody heard it, and all the guys in the store were like, hey, Bo, how you been? Not much. So again, you know, again, how do we deal with this? Again, how many of you guys are single? Anybody single in the house today? Come on, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Everybody, yeah, there are people that are single. How many of you guys, again, you love being single? How many of you? Anybody? Yeah, fewer hands. How many of you guys, hate being single? You want to have a relationship? Yeah. Again, that's okay. Again, that's where I've been there. Well, here's the thing. If we want to honor God, and if we want to be in a relationship that's a treasure, again, we have to honor God. Let's start with dating. You ready for this? I'm going to give you some dating advice today, okay? Now listen, how do I know if my relationship is God-honoring? How do I know? Here's the answer. If your relationship contradicts the word of God, it is a trap. I mean, seriously, some people go, should I pray? I mean, I've been praying about this, and this guy, you know, I mean, again, he doesn't like Jesus, and he you know, doesn't go to church, but I believe God wants me to date him. If your relationship contradicts the word of God, it is a trap. I mean, seriously, it's that simple. I mean, again, I was in relationships and growing up, you know, dating relationships, I thought, man, my hormones led my relationship, right? Again, instead of the word of God. And so again, if your relationship contradicts the word of God, then it's a trap. But if your relationship honors the word of God, then it can be a treasure. It can be a treasure. Again, I'll give you two common traps that dating people make. Two common traps, two common mistakes. Number one is this. They date somebody and they're unequally yoked. You say, well, what does that mean? Oh, I'll give you the scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Listen to what it says. It says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? And how can light with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer, be a partner with an unbeliever? Do you see what the verse is saying? I'll illustrate it this way. We have a set of Percheron draft horses that drive our wagons, right? I mean, we have them for our church. Now, here's the thing. If I was to take, and their names are Babe and Bullet. If I was to take Bullet, Bullet weighs how many pounds? 2250. He's huge. I mean, he's beautiful. Dapple gray, beautiful. If I was to take Bullet and I was to put him up next to a Shetland pony and I was to team them together, what would happen? Bullet would carry the pony, right? Or they would go in circles because the little Shetland pony couldn't keep up, right? I mean, again, because they're teamed up, they're just going to go in circles, and one of them, the Shetland pony, is going to get the raw end of the deal. Or Bullet's going to get worn out because he's dragging this little pony around. You see what I'm saying? It's the same way when in relationships. God says, if you want to honor me in your relationships, then you will be equally yoked. When you are unequally yoked, again, you are going to be dragged down by the person that you're yoked with. They're going to drag you down. And so again, the first misconception and the first, you know, common trap is you are unequally yoked. And here's the bottom line. If you are a believer in Jesus and you are dating a person who is not a believer, you are unequally yoked, and therefore you are not God honoring in your relationship. I want you to hear this because I'm going to set you guys, I mean, God's going to set you free from some things that you may be in right now. Again, I hear it all the time. I hear ladies, they'll come up to me, or even men, they'll come up to me and they'll go, hey, Bo, you know, Jesus, he's my best friend. I love Jesus with all my heart. And then I say, well, you know, what about the guy you're dating? I mean, does he love Jesus? Well, no, not really. He doesn't really like church because he had a bad experience in the bathroom and somebody offended him. I mean, I don't know why I said the bathroom. maybe he heard somebody talking bad about somebody else. I don't know. But again, there are all kinds of excuses for people not to love Jesus, right? But here's the thing. I hear it all the time. And again, they come to me and they say, Bo, I love Jesus, and we're in love and we want to get married, but he doesn't really love Jesus, but our love will carry us through. Here's the truth. If you are in that type of relationship, God can do anything, but more than likely you will end up a statistic and be divorced. You know why? Because if you can't share your best friend, who ought to be Jesus Christ, with the person that you're supposed to be best friends on this earth with, then you're not going to be who God wants you to be. Does that make sense? And so again, you know, if you pair yourself up with someone that doesn't love Jesus and you love Jesus, it doesn't honor God. And if you want your relationship to be a treasure and not a trap, then you need to honor God. Here's the other side of it. If you are equally yoked with someone that loves Jesus Christ and you're running toward Jesus and they're running right next to you and you're like, hey, babe, you look good, you know, and you're running next to them and they're running toward Jesus too, listen, that is a blast. I love that. I mean, that's how my wife was. She was outrunning me because she runs all the time. But we were running in the same direction toward Jesus. And I looked over and I said, hey, babe, what's up? And then she blew me away. And I was like, see ya. But I got to see the best side of her. I had to take a drink after that one. So again, you say, Bo, how do I honor God in my relationships? You have to be equally yoked. It's not worth it. And you say, well, we love each other. Love will carry us through. Love is not enough. It's not. You got to have God in your relationship. He needs to be the center of it. Here's the second trap that I believe that a lot of Christians and unbelievers are living in. You ready for this? It's the trap of being sexually immoral in your relationship. sexually immoral in your relationship. If you haven't been to our church before, we talk about things that God talks about, right? If the Bible talks about sex, then we're going to talk about sex. Can I get an amen? If the Bible talks about, you know, again, relationships, we're going to talk about it. Listen to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. It says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Do you see what it's saying? The marriage bed should be kept pure. That means before you're married, while you're married, again, it should be kept pure. And so here's the truth. Sex is awesome. Yes. Thank you, guys. This guy's, his bed is warm, not cold. Here's the truth. Sex is awesome. But listen, if you want to experience the true pleasure of sex, it needs to happen within the marriage bed. It needs to happen within the marriage bed. And so here's the thing. The bottom line is, if you are sleeping with a person and you're not married, your relationship is not honoring God, and you are in a trap. Again, I've seen it 1,000 times. I used to work with teenagers, and they'd give themselves over to this individual, and their light that burned bright, their smile that burned bright went away. They begin to frown. They begin to experience the shame and the regret because they've given their body over to someone that has ditched them for another hotter girl. And it kills them. And so again, if you want to honor God in your relationships, you ought to be sexually pure. And you say, okay, Bo, that's so crap. I am in a relationship that is unequally yoked. Or you may say, I'm in a relationship and we're having sex outside of marriage. Here's the great news. What I shared with you is truth, but here's what can overcome all of your sin. You know why I know? Because he's overcome it in my life. Here's what can overcome it. The grace of God. The grace of God. Listen to 1 John 1:9. It says, if you will confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive you or forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Listen, if you are in an unequally yoked relationship, God may say, get out, right? And you need to be obedient. But if he says, hey, he does say get out if you're unequally yoked. There's no question, okay? Can we just clear that up? There's no question. But if that person gives their life to Jesus, he may begin to love Jesus or she may begin to love Jesus and God may bring you back together. But you don't want them to love Jesus because you told them to love Jesus. You want them to love Jesus on their own. And then when they grow in a relationship with Jesus, then you guys can come back together. That's the grace of God. That is the grace of God. And you say, well, what do I do about, you know, being in a sexual relationship? Again, if you will repent of your sin, if you will say, okay, God, I've messed it up and I'm turning from this and I'm turning back to you. I want to honor you in my relationship. Guess what? He will forgive you and he will cleanse you of your sin. It's the great thing about God. And so again, God can rescue you from your trap and give you a treasure. Now, here's the other hand, okay? I know some of you guys aren't religious and some of you guys aren't like this, but listen, here's the other side of this whole dating deal. And I've been around a lot of religious people. And when I say religious, I mean it negative, okay? I've been around a lot of religious people who say, you know what? I'm just not going to date anybody because dating is cheating on God. I'm going to date God. And if I date God, again, I'm going to just live for him. And then again, I'm just going to please God by not dating anybody. Can I just tell you, that's stupid. And I, again, so you're like, so you shouldn't date God? No, listen, here's what I mean by that. If God says you need to stop dating for a season, that's okay. But if God brings a godly girl or a godly man in your life and says, I want you to begin to date her, and you go, no, God, it'll be cheating on you, then you are stupid. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, some people, again, they want to be this extreme Christian where they're like, I don't have time to enjoy the blessings that God has given me because I'm just pursuing God. Listen, You need to pursue God. But sometimes, and a lot of times, God puts people in your lives so that you can enjoy pursuing God with them. Does that make sense? And so again, we can go from one extreme to the next. I mean, we can date the wrong person, or we can not choose to date the right person and still not honor God. And so again, you say, okay, Bo, that's the dating deal. What about marriage? How do I enjoy my marriage without being trapped by it? Here's the answer. We must honor God in our marriage. You've got to honor God in your marriage. You may be thinking, well, Bo, how can a marriage be a trap? Some of you guys, don't elbow. Don't elbow. This isn't the time to go, yeah, I'm in a trap. Yeah, you need to listen. Listen, here's what I believe, and here's why I believe some marriages can be a trap. You ready for this? I believe that some marriages can be a trap when you have unrealistic expectations of your spouse. Are you hearing this? Again, this stuff can set you free. I want to just say this again. When you have unrealistic expectations of your spouse, you are setting yourself up to be disappointed and to fail. You are. The two most common unrealistic expectations are this. Number one is this. You are going to make me happy. She is going to make me happy. Or here's the second one. She is going to meet all of my needs. Anybody ever had that expectation? Okay, I'm the only one. Great. Once again, a bunch of liars in church. Here's the truth. Your spouse, listen to this, your spouse cannot meet your deepest needs. Can I just set you free by this? Your spouse cannot meet your deepest needs. Now you say, Bo, does she meet my needs? Can he meet my needs? Absolutely. They can meet your needs to a certain degree, but they can't meet your deepest needs. Ultimately, listen to this, God, when he meets the needs in our lives, again, when our basis is in God meeting our needs, that is true happiness. Does that make sense? I'll say it this way. I love my wife. I love her. I love her more than any individual on the face of this earth. She is ahead of my kids. She's ahead of my mom. She's ahead of my dad. She is the love of my life, and I do not want to be without her. But here's the truth. I could be happy without her. And guess what? She could be happy without me. You say, well, what do you mean by that? How can you say that you would be happy without her? Here's why. Because I've learned that Jesus Christ is my ultimate satisfaction. When she doesn't like me, guess what? Jesus still does. I mean, again, you think, well, and here's a major trap. When my happiness is built on whether someone likes me or whether someone doesn't like me, I am trapped by the way that they feel about me. Does that make sense? I mean, again, and it's a trap, because when so-and-so doesn't like me, then I'm like, holy crap, I'm not happy. I mean, I've known people that have lived with jerks. I've known people that have lived with people that were just the biggest, you know, sorry dogs on the face of the earth. And that lady or that man was still happy. You know why? Because they had their faith and their foundation and their basis was built on Jesus. Even though their wife was a miserable witch. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm not picking up. The guy can be a miserable witch too. And I'll just say this. My marriage to my wife hasn't always been as good as it has been. I'll let you in. And some of you guys have heard me talk about our honeymoon. Our honeymoon was from hell. Anybody have a honeymoon from hell? Bunch of liars too. I mean, seriously, I'm feeling really shunned today. Here's why. Because I believe that Heather and I had unrealistic expectations. We had unrealistic expectations about happiness and about how, again, she was going to make me happy. I was going to make her happy. We had unrealistic expectations about love, about sex, about how we should treat each other. And again, it caused for us to have a tough honeymoon and a tough first year of our marriage. You know why? Here's why. Because I believe that I was trying to squeeze God out of my wife, and it was killing her. You say, what do you mean? When I was looking for satisfaction, when I was looking for, you know, that ultimate happiness, when I was looking for that ultimate thrill, and I didn't get it from my wife, I tried to squeeze it out of her. And I was killing her. You know why? Because God is the only person that can truly make me happy. And when I'm happy in God, then my relationship can be the best that it can be because I'm satisfied with God and she's just the icing on the cake. Does that make sense? And so again, marriage can be a trap when you're looking for lasting acceptance, lasting identity, lasting security, and lasting purpose in another person. And again, can they meet certain needs? Absolutely. But Jesus is the only one who can fulfill our deepest needs. Jesus accepts me for who I am. Even when I leave the toilet seat up, he accepts me. Jesus, I find my true identity in him. I find my lasting security in him. And I find my true purpose in him. And so again, you say, well, I'm living in a trap. I mean, again, my wife, she thinks I ought to be able to read her mind, or my husband thinks that I ought to be able to read his mind, or, you know, again, we're just trying to get all we can out of them and it's killing us. Listen, here's the key to a happy relationship with your spouse: putting God first. It's point number two. How do we enjoy our relationships without being trapped by them? Point number two, you got to put God first. The better that I am with God, the more the happiness that I find in God, the more happiness I find in my marriage. I mean, again, some of you guys are like, you know, I'm just going to put, you know, I'm going to put God first, and I'm just going to, you know, put everybody else second and all this stuff in my spiritual life. No, listen, if you will personally spend time with God on your own, reading your Bible, you know, praying, coming to church, singing the songs, enjoying your relationship with God, then you can ultimately love your spouse. You can do it. You know why? Because when I feel the heartbeat of God, then I can feel the heartbeat of my spouse. It's the truth. And so again, you may be in a trap today and you're thinking, why are we so miserable? Why is this, you know, again, some of you guys are maybe engaged. Some of you guys are maybe fixing to get married. Listen, again, I hope I haven't bursted your bubble, but you will not always be happy in your marriage. Can I get an amen? I got an amen from a lady down here. But listen, if you will have realistic expectations about what to expect from your wife or your husband, you can be happy. You know why? Because God can make us happy. And so here's the thing. Are you in a trap in your relationships, or is it a treasure? Are you in, a relationship that doesn't honor God, or are you in a relationship that honors God? Are you putting God first in your relationship? Are you putting her or him first in your relationship? Again, it is the true key to happiness and the true key to enjoying relationships. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. We're going to wrap this up. How many of you guys would say today, you know what, Bo? I mean, again, I don't know if your dating relationship person is sitting beside you, but how many of you guys would say today, you know what, Bo? I'm in a trapped relationship. Anybody raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. We're not going to point you out. Trapped relationship. Thank you. Can I just tell those of you that are in a dating relationship with an unequally yoked person, here's my advice to you. Get out. It's not worth it. You say, well, no, if we just get married, then things will change. No, they get worse. And so again, maybe you're unequally yoked and you need to get out of that dating relationship. Here's the other side of that. Maybe you're in a marriage and you're unequally yoked. Can I just tell you, here's how you can change your marriage. Here's how you do it. You live, listen, if you're a believer, you live and love Jesus with all your heart. You show your spouse that doesn't love Jesus what true love looks like. You love them in spite of their failures. You serve them in spite of their faults. And you pray for them every day. And you show them grace. You show them mercy. And then one of these days, Lord willing, they will turn to God because you love them no matter what. And so listen, you're not in a hopeless situation. Again, God can do anything. He can turn your marriage around. And you've just got to put Him first in your life. Some of you guys are here and maybe you're in a sexual relationship with someone that you're not married to. Listen, it's like I said before, God can forgive you of your sin. He can wipe away the shame. He can wipe away the guilt. And He can give you a treasure instead of a trap. But listen, you have to do your part. And that is to turn to Him and say, I need your mercy and I need your grace. Maybe you're here today and you're not honoring God in your dating relationship. You're not honoring God in your marriage. Listen, if that's true, repent. You say, well, what's that mean? I mean, that's like a church word. Repent means that you turn from your sin and you turn a 180 and you turn to God. And you say, God, I'm not going to live for myself. I'm not going to live for anybody else but you. And I need you to forgive me. And I need you to guide me and show me what it is to look and to serve you with all my heart. Maybe you need to refocus in your marriage, your expectations. Maybe you've been trying to squeeze what only God can give you out of your partner, out of your spouse. Listen, if you need help with that, we would love to help you. There are resources out there. There are great books. There's great teaching. I mean, there's scripture that can help you have realistic expectations in your marriage. And here's the last thing I want to leave you with. If you are going to have a relationship on this earth, you need to put God first in it. Again, God needs to be first in all of your relationships. Whether you're dating somebody or whether you're married somebody, it doesn't matter. You are to put God first. And when you do this, your relationship will go from being a trap to being a treasure. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. If you have questions or you need somebody to pray with you, I'll be up here. Maybe, again, you need to know this Jesus guy for the first time. You need to give your life to Him and ask Him to come into your heart. We would love to show you how to do that. We would love to share scripture with you that explains how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus. And you say, Bo, I don't have time to stick around. I don't have time to pray. Listen, here's what we ask you to do. Fill out the orange card, place it in the yellow bucket, and we will contact you about your question or about your decision that you've made today. And you say, Bo, I don't have time to even do that. Here's what else you can do. You can text your name to the number on the screen. You don't have to text your question. You don't have to text anything but your name to the number on the screen, and we will contact you about your decision. It's that simple. So don't leave out of here without getting the help that you need. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. Again, if you're a first-time guest, we want to meet with you, give you a gift as soon as church is over on the north-hand side over here by our guest table. So please connect with us. If you're a children's church worker, please come to the meeting and we'll provide your lunch. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the opportunity to learn how to enjoy the relationships of this world without being trapped by them. And Lord, today I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you have set some people free today of the traps and you have rescued them and made their relationships a treasure. You know why? Because they have begun to honor you in their relationship. And so, Lord, we pray that that's the case today. We pray that in every relationship that we have, that we honor you and we give you all the glory. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here today. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you again for listening to this message. And we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.